standing and turn to sermon text this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning our reading at the 17th verse and reading through verse 26. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For at eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. One is hungry, and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "The cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Please be seated. The last verse of that passage which I've just read is my text for this morning. "For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Suppose I was to tell you that before you walk out of this church today, you will all be evangelists. And some of you right now are laughing, and some of you are saying, "Not me." And others of you are saying, "He better get busy and give me something to talk about." Or, "He better give me a magic formula, a way to say things in such a way that I can easily communicate the gospel with other people." And some of you might be saying, "There's no way that's going to happen to me." Well, don't be so sure. The text says, "As oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." I maintain that this text tells believers, that by the very act of eating and drinking the elements of the Lord's Supper, evangelism is going on. Let me develop that thought a little bit. Taking the elements is an act of personal evangelism. Taking the elements is an act of personal evangelism. Well, how do you say that, Pastor Taylor? Where do you get that idea? Well, look at what it says. "For as often as you eat the bread and you drink the cup." Clearly, he's talking about the people he's writing to. We assume them to be the Christians at Corinth. But he's also talking in general to Christians everywhere. "As you eat and drink, you," he goes on to say, "are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes." That word, proclaim, important word. Very important word. It's one of a family of words that the New Testament uses when it wants to talk about the sharing of the good news and or preaching. Linked to the word, which is only used 14 times in the New Testament, linked to the words are such ideas as preaching Jesus through the resurrection of the dead in Acts chapter 4, verse 2, in Acts chapter 17, verse 3, and in Acts chapter 17, verse 23. Linked to this word is the preaching of the word of God, Acts chapter 13, verse 5, Acts chapter 15, verse 36. Linked to this word is the preaching of the gospel, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 14. And linked to this word is the preaching of Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1, verses 27 and 28. When you look at it from the way in which this word is so frequently used and connected with preaching and connected with the very elements of our faith, namely Christ, the gospel, the word of God, this is a word that is a very strong word that implies preaching, that implies a strong announcement of the gospel is forthcoming. Here, the word is used, and it is said that we are vigorously proclaiming Christ as we eat and drink the elements that represent the body and the blood of the Savior. But isn't that odd? Isn't that an odd way of communicating? Isn't that an odd way of connecting thoughts? Eating and drinking are not normally understood as a speaking activity. Are they? Which one of you does not have a mama that told you don't eat, don't speak with your mouth full? That's only polite. We don't speak with our mouth full, right? And you all know that if you try to speak when you're drinking, only a garbled sound comes out. You can't make out what you're trying to say. And nevertheless, in our text, it connects the act of eating and drinking, with a verbal proclamation. You can only assume that it's by a vigorous proclamation of the things about Christ is what Paul must be talking about when he says we are celebrating the Lord's Supper. Just because our proclamation is not verbal, just because when we take these elements we're not saying anything, just because it's not verbal does not mean we're not making a proclamation. Does not mean that we're not saying something. You see, what are we saying? What are you and I saying in the few minutes when we take the Lord's Supper? By our actions, we are saying simply that we are witnessing to the truth. We are witnessing to the truth about Jesus. We're witnessing to the truth about His death and resurrection. We're witnessing to the truth about ourselves, that we need His death and resurrection. We are witnessing the great, glorious gospel truth that if it were not for our sins, there wouldn't be this celebration. And we are also declaring that it's not anything that we bring to this table that makes any difference regarding our salvation. It's Him symbolically present. We're participants. We're passive. We're not contributing.
to what are the elements. The elements represent Jesus. They don't represent me. They don't represent you. They don't represent anybody else. They represent Him. Who are we talking to? Who are we speaking to when we take the Lord's Supper? It says it's a proclamation. Actually, the word sometimes is translated preaching. Who are we preaching to? Well, I have to admit, one of the groups we're preaching to is the so-called choir. But just because that word is sometimes used somewhat derisively, it ought not to be ignored. Because you see, as each of you lifts the cup of the Lord's blood, or as each of you takes His body broken, you are declaring to one another your common faith. You are reminding one another of the sacrifice of Jesus that was meant not just to save you, to save His body, His people. We are reminding ourselves that we are sinners. We are reminding ourselves that we once were without the light of heaven, that we once were in bondage to sin. We once were dead in our transgressions and sins. We once were enemies of God, subject to His holy wrath, and even cursed to eternal damnation for it. But Jesus Christ, by one act of divine sacrifice, removed all that. Removed our curse for our sin. Removed our bondage of sin. We are also reminding ourselves that God is with us. God in the flesh willingly died. Willingly gave His life to satisfy the penalty of our sins upon the cross. God received and saved all the elect in Jesus Christ through Christ's act. By taking the Lord's Supper, you're telling your Christian brother or sister, I believe in this saving truth. And you're exhorting them to make the same comment. We preach to not only the brothers and sisters in the church, but we also preach to the things called the tares in the church. Those tares that Matthew said were the weeds sown by the evil one. The weeds that looks in some ways a little bit like the church initially. The wheat sown in the Lord's harvest field, but it can only be distinguished in harvest time. Those who are functionally hypocrites, we are telling them that they are sinners and that only through the blood of Christ can they receive any comfort or hope for life eternal. Only through the blood of Christ can anyone be saved. We are exhorting the hypocrites in our midst to repent and to believe and to trust fully in the sacrifice of Christ. There's also a sense in which there's one other person that we're proclaiming our allegiance to Christ, and that person is God. God is present with us, is He not? We are declaring to our Father, once again, our commitment to His Son in His Gospel.
We are declaring our thanksgiving for His way of salvation. We are asking for His continued forgiveness in Christ and the blessings that flow from Him. We praise Him and we simultaneously admit that we are sinners. We are part of that ungodly rabble that the good man died for. As Romans chapter 5 verse 6 says, while we were yet weak, in due season Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely will a righteous man, will one die. For peradventure the good man, some will even dare to die. But our Savior died for none were righteous. None could save themselves. How much it must please our God to hear from the lips of His people, God, by Your grace, we believe. We trust. God, I'm not bragging, but I'm an evidence. I am a testimony to the fact that Your Son's ministry is effective and effectual. That a sinner like me can be overcome by Your grace. Along the way, we not only are preaching to God and to ourselves and to others who are unbelievers, but we are also preaching important theological thoughts such as the sufficiency of the body and blood of Christ to pay for our sins. We are preaching the necessity of the body and blood of Christ to save us. We are preaching the uniqueness of the body and blood of Jesus Christ to save us. By uniqueness, I mean that only He, the God-man, could save us from our sin. The infinitely holy, fully man, fully God. Only His blood could save us. No one else's blood could remit sin. For we are all sinners before Him. Only Christ is perfect. But there was another part of this passage that intrigued me as I was looking at it, and it said, the Lord's Supper is not only an act of preaching, it is an eschatological or last day's witness to the world we live in. Notice how Jesus, or how Paul puts it, for as oft as you drink this bread and eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Till He comes. We are, as the faithful of God, as we participate in the Lord's Supper, we are declaring everything that we have just said about Jesus to the world, to ourselves, to the tares, and we will continue to do that. But He is coming. And He will come. So many different ways in which people believe that evangelism has to take place in our world for it to be effective. There are the great crusades. As some have used, there is much mission planning and mission strategizing that others use. Some go the route of more ludicrous expressions of the gospel. Let's all get involved in interpretive dance, for example. Or, maybe if we can't do that, maybe we can at least have a puppet show to get the gospel across. Maybe it's not the vehicle, maybe it's the message. Maybe we ought to tone down the message a little bit. Maybe we ought to concentrate on God loving everybody and not talk about sin. That might be fun, you know. Everybody might like that. Would it be the truth? What would you be converting people to? What kind of God would they be worshiping? Is that what I want you to do today? Have an abbreviated 6-month course on some sort of strategy to reach out to people? Or you want to go home and have a puppet dance or talk about the gospel? Or want to go talk to your neighbors about knock door to door? I'm not trying to knock these things necessarily. I guess some of them have their place. But all I'm trying to say is that you, according to the text, are evangelizing when you take the Lord's Supper. And how many of you have ever thought of it that way? I don't know that I ever have. Maybe not the way the world wants to see evangelism. But you know, God has a strange way of not doing things the way the world does. God has a strange way of using people who necessarily don't have the eloquence of speech to get His message across. You can use eloquence of speech, but it's not necessary. It doesn't have to be packaged in great theological treatises for it to be effective. For God oftentimes confounds the wisdom of men through the preaching of the cross. Right? Every drop that you drink today, and every crumb or crust that you eat, is a witness to the world of the reality of Jesus. It is a witness to the death of Christ for sinners. The Church of Jesus Christ will continue to keep making this witness every time the Lord's Supper is served. It seems so innocent, right? And yet it is so powerful. Do you see the gospel here? The Lord's Supper is an additional witness to others to repent and believe, simply because the kingdom of God has come upon you. It has been here since the first coming of Christ. And we live in the last days, awaiting the second coming of Christ. Is He coming back? You better say yes. And He's coming in splendor and in glory. And He will take His beloved bride. Saints like you, He will take to be with Him in glory. And He will also be coming to destroy all those who do not embrace
the King and the Savior. Who do not love the King of Kings and who will not serve His gracious sacrifice for our sins. Kind of makes taking the Lord's Supper kind of neat, new, amazing. But you won't take it just in any old way. But you continue to think about these things as you take the supper today. And let God be glorified as you preach and bear witness to the gospel. Amen.